find the water. I've been to many countries, over maybe more than 25 countries, but Africa is one of beautiful countries. You guys been to Africa before? Please. Oh yes, my brothers, you already been to Africa. Well, right now, our church members next to me, hey, Obi. Oh, actually, my name is Obadiah, just call me Obi. It's shortcut, okay? Also, you have to listen carefully because my English is broken English. Yeah, you didn't listen carefully, you can't understand what I'm saying. Okay, you guys?
Okay.
So many people ask me, hey, Obi, what's going to about teen and team? So what are you going to do? What's your position? What's your job? So I prepared two different, one is video clip, one is PPT. So first one, I showed to video clip. What are you going to do? Team and team through the video clip. And then second thing, I show you to what did you do in Africa this summer through PPT. Okay? So please turn on our video clips. Thank you.
More of a mission to advance modern work in the global society to help the alleviation of suffering. Timmy Tim has operated in Africa, especially in South Sudan, the Boma area. We're operating currently in Sierra Leone, that is a few towns. We're operating in Kenya. We have an office in Nairobi in the field operations office, which is in Tana River area, where we do projects like drilling, rehabilitation of broken pumps, health and sanitation education, school construction, water pump construction, and parks and filters to the communities.
The reason why Tim and Tim decided to work on water or be in wash is because we realized that very many people are not going to die due to waterborne diseases. People get water, which is dirty, because they don't have anything to use. They are forced to use that water. So that's the reason why Tim and Tim actually thought of providing clean water so that we can eradicate these waterborne diseases among the poor people. Yeah, which we've actually managed to do through the Ministry of Health in the regions that we work.
We have clean drinking water because we drill the boreholes, we repair the broken pumps, and we construct the earth pumps to trap water during the rainy seasons. Children are able to go to school because we need schools. We build about 5 schools, and we lead more than 50 hygiene and sanitation education to the communities. We distributed more than 1,500 fire sanitation to the communities. In a nutshell, I want to say that is what we've done. What is the impact of all this? We have reduced the waterborne diseases by big energy because we have safe water consumption. The school enrollment has increased and the attendance has increased because we have available schools for children to come into. We are the pastoralist communities reducing their movement and reducing the chances for conflict with other communities because they have ready water in their communities because of the constructed outcomes. We have healthy communities making informed choices because they're being taught and informed about making healthy decisions on their own behalf.
Simply, Tim and Tim goes to places that are very, very dangerous. Like where we are now, we are near Somali border. All the time there are problems. And with love, it's actually love that is taking us there. Otherwise, without that, nobody would go there because we are taking their life.
Thank you very much. We have 5 different places in Africa. One is Kenya and Somalia, Rwanda, and Sierra Leone, and South Sudan. So we have 65 full-time staffs in Africa. Actually, in Canada, team and teams, we more focus is North Korea towards China. Actually, that is my heart too, my burden too from North Korea. So I show you what you do through these summers through PPT. Can you? In the first page. Yes, next one. You don't have any. Yeah, this one is day for girls. Team and team is not only working team and team. With team and team, this one goal is we working all different NGO department, NGO companies. So before left Kenya this summer, we went to Day for Girls, Day for Girls, that we have to Day for Girls working for desanitized kits for young ladies. So we was bringing 125 support from our churches, then we shared to give it to African women students. The next one. Yeah, this one is we arrived team and team office in Kenya. So we met the team and team members in Kenya office. The next one. Yeah, this is we first station in Kenya, Nairobi. So actually team and team places 14 hours by bus. Actually our work project place near the Somalia is 400-500 kilometers from Nairobi to Somalia, just border, we're walking over there. That's why we use the bus at this time. Next one. And this is our team and team garrison office in Kenya. So all staffs live there, and then we prepare everything. Yeah, next. Yeah, this one is our garrison team and team staffs. Actually, did you see one of the video clips, Kelly, he is a project manager. He actually, yeah, this guy's, he's project manager. He's a doctor in Kenya. So he joined our team and team since 2011. He's still working to develop and sanitize medical everything. And next one. And this is our project for water project, water pump project. So we went to village of Konkona. So usually people start, actually team and team is we don't have a share about Jesus Christ, but people start pump, we just ask the village people, could you pray for our God? Because actually near the Somalia, this border is a lot of Islam peoples from moved from Somalia. So a lot of is increase as Islam peoples. So that's why before we start work, we just ask the people, so could you pray for our God? Then we start. Actually, we 5 people went to Kenya from our Korean small groups. So we helping to water pump project. So this is complete water pump. Usually, we working days around 2-3 days. One waters, if we find the water project, we finish. And around 3,000 people living one start, one communities. It's really, really important. And next one. Yeah, after we finish water project, pump project, and then we start education for sanitize. Because right now it's many problems, many NGOs, they start to develop water pump, but they don't care for look after. That's why a lot of broken. So our team and team is, we start rehabilitation. We fix and develop again, then we teaching to village people. So one of our team members, we took a picture project. It's an instant picture. So they really like it because they don't much any chance to get take a picture. So we have to make good times. And next one. Yeah, this one is SOI Secondary School. We bring to Day for Girls for these kids. And then we start educate for this secondary school. Actually, we visit two secondary school. Actually, one class is for ladies. Another class is we invite boys. Just before teachers. No, next one. No, previous. Because they focus, they ask us, it's not only for women. We teach and educate same time as boys and girls. So one part, Sana, she's in charge for girls, and then Han, he's in charge for men. At the same time, we teach educate. Because they don't have this thing, same as pen, so girls can't go to school. Because this is something, many different stories. But after we came to this one, so they really enjoy it, they will get back to school too. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, thank you very much. Next one. Yes, this school is Marambo Secondary School. All these villages, after we find water, they start new community. So a lot of angels come to school, instead of the angels come to villages after water, they making concert school, and then so start living village couples. The next one. Yeah, after we educate, we first time meet village youth people. We invite soccer, volleyball, some other playing together. Yeah, this is after we educate, they focus, then we took picture together. Yeah, this is making incineration plant because I don't know, you guys really good for is dump to your garbage, right? To rubbish can. But sometimes in Africa, it's really they to some other street. It's like really make big pollution some other plants. So that's why we made for incubation plant for village people. We working together. And then, yeah, this is only the water reserve. It's one of our big project and actually all support from Korean government, this project. So this one is, if we make water pen, it's around 30,000 people can make big communities. So usually, only we found one water pump is 3,000 people. If we make it, that is around 30,000 people. Because people left their village, no water. But you make waters, they come back to their village, they start. So we visit, and then we're gonna do, we take picture on our teams. So also another project is after we make a water pump, then we making benches, because if water, they need some chairs. So that's why our team joined, small budgets, we start to try to make benches. It's good, right? It's cut. Yes, after that, we take picture. Next one. Yeah, actually, Team 19 focus is not find waters. Actually, Team 19 main goal is we raise up young adult university students become African leaders. So we made another Christian organizations, Students Allies Movement, we call SAN. So once a year, so we invite all Kenya university for one campus, around 700-800 universities to join for this conference. We share about Jesus Christ. So why you gonna do, why you have your purpose? We teach it, we share our life. Then we challenge it to these people. Yes, thank you very much. So just I tell you 1 minute. Well, I really challenge you guys. Our life is short, but God has planned our life. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
Our focus is many times focus difference. But we focus on fixed on His eyes, our life is different. Our life is changing. So I tell you one more time, really appreciate your prayer, your heart. And thank you very much. God bless you.
Opportunity that our team has had to go to Kenya. So many miles, so much tiresome on the body, no doubt, in way of just having to endure the long flights and then to be there in Kenya under the hot sun and then to be able to be productive and see water shooting out of the ground and water being cooled into reservoirs for the African people. Lord, we have had a hand in that through sending our team, and we thank you for also the Days for Girls ministry that continues to be a blessing, that girls can be involved in pursuing their education, whereas before having to take time out of their education. We pray, Lord, that you will continue to prosper Team and Team ministry. And we thank you for the blessings that we have had in praying and ministry through our giving towards Team and Team and towards this project that we have for Days for Girls. We pray today that you would continue to make us a blessing, not only here in Coquitlam, but abroad as well, around our world, for the sake of your gospel, the good news. We pray for ministry such as this. Lord, we're also very much aware that there are needs in our community and among our body of believers here. We thank you for those that every Sunday come to our fellowships, come to our ministries for kids, come to chances to bring worship and praise to you on Sunday mornings and Saturday evenings. We pray, Lord, that you would bless those that are struggling and would love to be here but can't make it. Think of Pastor John Davies, who's been sitting in our pews for so many years and hates to miss a Sunday service. And yet through a fall over a week ago now, has ended up in Eagle Ridge Hospital and finds himself recovering from the fall, but yet struggling with some other complications with this fall. And he says, Pastor Larry, I'd love to be there, and I want to bring my tithe to the church, but he can't. He can't be here. So I pray this morning, Lord, that you will be with him, that you will comfort him and encourage him, despite his lack of being present in your church, Lord. May his heart be a temple court for your praise even this morning. And I thank you, Lord, for all brothers and sisters that have constantly gone and visited him over this past week and a bit. We pray that you would help raise up more of us that would be willing to go over to Eagle Ridge Hospital and pay him a visit and be able to encourage him. If he can't be with the church should certainly be able to go to him. We just commit ourselves to that this morning. Thank you as well, Lord Jesus, for your blessing on us as Tri-Cities. Yesterday attending the mayor's prayer breakfast up at the golf course, Westwood Golf Course, on the plateau. And Lord, I thank you for our mayors and council members that have committed themselves to serve our community. And I pray for them, Lord, that you would continue to prosper their governance here amongst our Tri-Cities. I pray for them as continually we have more development, more people coming and making Coquitlam and Port Coquitlam and Port Moody their homes. We pray that you would help us to continue to be a welcoming community and a community that's concerned for the least of these, for those that struggle economically and those that do prosper economically as well. We pray and commit ourselves to aiding and being a good neighbor to one another and to encouraging each other in way of ministry and worship and praise of God. So, Lord, we thank you for this church. We thank you for our churches and our communities around our Tri-Cities, and we pray for them this morning. Bless us now as we examine your word and we involve ourselves in looking at a prophet, a sister to the king, in the book of Daniel. We ask these things in our Savior's name. Amen. Thank you for praying along with me this morning, and I hope that you would be able to turn in your bulletins to the back again to the sermon title, given A Spiritual Template
And we're going to be looking at Daniel chapter 6 this morning, Daniel chapter 6. So when I think of a spiritual template, I think often of when I was a child, I would have a template that was really a stencil. And the stencil had the alphabets printed in them. And I loved it because my writing was so poor, I could just stick a pen there in the stencil, and then if I evenly traced the letters, I would get a remarkable-looking word out of the stencil. And so I thought, this is a great tool. And templates are that way. They make things easier if you comply with a bit of the structure and engage with whatever it is that you are have as a form. And so I present to you this morning a spiritual template in the way of Daniel. Daniel chapter 6. Looking at that text this morning, and this is a surprising text given that it's the occasion as there's a transition point in the life of Daniel, life of the whole Babylonian Empire, actually, as the Medes and the Persians then take over from the Babylonians, and Daniel's just right at that cusp, entering into a new governance from the Babylonians to the Medes and the Persians, who is Darius, now King Darius, takes over the throne. And so he's raised up as an administrator in this new constabulary, and he is taking on a new form of people and people that are coming under his administration, his management. And here he is, he's to lead them, and at the same time, he's very, very well aware that there's people that don't respect his leadership and really don't want him to be in leadership. And so he has to deal with that controversy as well. How does he cope with that? Well, he copes with a spiritual template. And so I present this to you coming from Daniel chapter 6. The first aspect of that template is prayer. And I want to read for you verses 1 through 9 of this chapter 6 this morning. It says there, it pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king may not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So these administrators and satraps went as a group to the king and said, "May King Darius live forever. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human be during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accord with the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed." So King Darius put the decree in writing. The template of prayer. Well, despite this edict of the king, and it's interesting that all these governors, satraps, come to King Darius and say, "We've all come to this decision. And in this decision, we've decided that you, king, should be prayed to. Nobody else should pray to any other god, any other human being, any other idol, or anything else but to you, King Darius. Well, that could puff one up a little bit. Don't you think that King Darius' head probably swole 2-3 times in size? And he said, man, that's true. I'm a great guy. You know, people should be directing their concerns, their prayers to me. And so he signs the edict. After all, everybody was wanting him to do this. Everybody thought he was the greatest king ever. But Daniel wasn't involved in that. It was a rebellion, a coup d'etat, something that Daniel just didn't know anything about until the edict was signed and proffered to all that were concerned. Well, Daniel had a template, needless to say, of prayer. Daniel engages in prayer in an open and very obvious way. We look down to verse 10 there, and it says, now when Daniel learned of the decree and being published, he went home to the upstairs room where the window opened towards Jerusalem. 3 times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Daniel goes back to his room, a room that he was very much prone and regular with in way of his prayers. And he opens the last of the windows, and most likely in Babylon, those windows wouldn't have had glass or plexiglass like we have today. They would have been open, so when he opens them, it's just to carry the breeze through the room so the heat doesn't, you know, rest in the room, but just wafts through the room. And there, he would look out through that window towards Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the place that he had been imported from so long ago in his early manhood, because Babylon had taken the city of Jerusalem. And Jeremiah had prophesied that indeed this would happen if the people would not turn to their God. And he decreed that 70 years would elapse in Babylon. And there Daniel rested with all the people, all the Jews that were deported to Babylon. And there he found himself praying in an open window towards Jerusalem. His hope, his heart, was towards Jerusalem because it symbolized God. It symbolized all that he had left and lost. Yet he prays 3 times a day for Jerusalem, for God's work in his life and the people's life as they're stranded in this very hostile place. And so, as he's there praying in that open window, realizing full well that an edict was signed, that he was in very much a dereliction of the law and duty and way of what the king had just signed off on, he still goes. And he does that every day. And those enemies, those people that wanted to entrap him, were going, aha, we have him. We have him. Because he's so regular in prayer, because prayer is so much the very essence of a spiritual life, so much a part, even if he didn't have breath in his lungs, he would probably still use those last fleeting seconds to breathe out a prayer. So important was prayer to Daniel that he was willing to go against the king, even to the threat of his very own life. He saw this template of prayer as so precious and so important to him. And yet here we are in Canada, having so much freedoms, having no edict on our life to restrain us from prayer. How often do we pray? How often are we in earnest before God? Do we have this kind of template? And I think as we think on these things, it really helps us to understand our importance of our spirituality in the hostile environments that we are. Daniel lived through 3 successive kings, each very hostile in way of their governance, in way of how they view God and their plethora of different gods they worship. Daniel was seen as a leader, one that had great dignity, one that had great honor, and was raised to the highest status in the land. Because I believe he had a connection with reality that many of the other satraps, advisors, governors didn't have. He knew the reality and the truth that God was sovereign. God was in control, not Darius, not any of the other kings that he served under, Nebuchadnezzar and Cyrus and all these others. No, he knew that God was in control of his world and his life. And so his very breath was given towards prayer on a regular basis. That was the template for him. It says in Psalm 55, verse 17, from the psalmist David, morning, noon, and night, I will fall on my knees to pray. Daniel was visible when he prayed. He used it as a template. He breathed his prayer. Richard Foster in Spiritual Disciplines fame says, of all the spiritual disciplines, prayer is the most central because it ushers us into the perpetual communion with the Father. Prayer transforms the mundane realities of our life, the temporal realities of our life, into the spiritual reality that is. If we do not pray, we remain in the mundane. We remain in the temporal. And those things that become very blasé in our lives remain so. But if we are people of prayer, even the smallest thing, even the cup offered in the name of the Lord Jesus of cool water to one that is thirsty, therein is eternal value. Even two mites in the offering are credited as being viewed by God and not lacking a reward. You see, the prayer of a righteous man, a prayer of a righteous woman, has great value before the eternal God. We live not unto ourselves and on a horizontal plane only, but we live into a vertical reality of the worship and praise of eternal God. When Peter and John faced the Sanhedrin, the ruling party of the Jews, and they commanded them, do not speak any longer in the name of this Jesus. This is their reply in Acts 4, 18 and 19. Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. There's a higher authority, a higher reality than you see, Sanhedrin, than you see, O King Darius, that the rulers of the land are blind to. But I see the truth, the spiritual reality around us makes God the king. And I must pray, even if it costs me my very life, I will pray. It's the very template for which I live, and which I get this wisdom, and which I'm able to be a ruler amongst the Medes and the Persians, even this day. But secondly, there's a template of purity. We see this in verse 4 and 5. At this, the administrators and satraps tried to find grounds against Daniel for taking him down, giving him a big fall so that they could have victory and rise to his place and his station. They could find no corruption in him, it says, because he was trustworthy, neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men says, well, we can't really find anything that would really cause him to stumble and look bad. So the only thing is his spiritual life, this template he uses to live his life before God and before others. That's it. We'll trip him up there. The very purity of Daniel's life is a means of attacking him. Purity as a verb is used 40 times in the Old Testament. Purity, of course, is the opposite of guilt. Guilt. Purity consists of clean hands in Genesis 20, verse 5, and innocence in Psalm 26, verse 6. Before the people can engage in cultic worship, ceremonial activity before God, they must wash their hands. They must wash their hands and purify themselves in Exodus 19:10 and Exodus 19:14 and Joshua 7:13. In the New Testament, Jesus pronounces woe upon the Pharisees for their lack of purity. Matthew 23, verse 25 says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence." Purity comes from indeed the inside of the cup and works its way out, Jesus is saying. Don't just lavish that cleaning on the outside of the cup so it makes it look good to all those around you, but rather clean the inside of the cup, because that's the very place God looks. God looks at the intents of our heart. It says this in the scripture. He knows our hearts completely. Before him, they're an open book. Ah, that our hearts would be pure and right in his sight. Purity must, and first and foremost, be an attitude of our heart and our life before it's exuded as an attitude or an action outside of our lives. Daniel's life was marked by purity. He was an open book, squeaky clean before God, before others, which frustrated his enemies to no end, frustrating them because they wanted to take him down. But his only weakness was, of course, his greatest strength, and that being purity. He related this to his God and to those that he governed. Purity has lines that are formed by honesty, integrity, truth, holiness, and righteousness. It's the very lines within that stencil that we're able to carve out the reality of our lives if we're living for God. This template reflects the holiness of God and the worship of God in our lives. Thirdly, the template of perseverance. Daniel has a routine of prayer, a devotion towards God that marked each successive king that he fell under in way of them taking over successively from each king before. But yet in his regularity and his perseverance, he still went to that window that opened up towards Jerusalem and prayed towards the city, prayed towards his God. We see perseverance when the king plans to execute Daniel. Even that doesn't stop Daniel from going up to the window and praying to his God. In all the ups and downs of political life, Daniel hangs in there. It's unbelievable, but at this time in his life, at Daniel chapter 6, he's not a young man anymore. The commentators and scholars tell us there's an elapse of time that is quite great in the book of Daniel, from where he's foolish and imported as a young man into Babylon till he comes to this point where he's around age 90, pushing 90 in this text before us. So as an old man, he still perseveres in going to the window and praying to his God. Perseverance was a great mark of Daniel's ability to push past all the tirades and all the negativity of his enemies and those that would have him fall. He had a sense of history. I think some of the greatest realities have come because of those that are older in the faith, have persevered in their faith and their trust in God. It's interesting that, in way of statistics, that it said that those that are older And this was from Newman Darlin, a scholar that looked at the achievements of over 400 renowned characters in history. And he said that almost 80% of the world's great figures have activities in their lives that had great works from the age of 58 to 80. 25% continued beyond 70. 22.5% beyond 80, and 6% beyond 90. Consider what men have done in their 80s. At 83, Gladstone, for the fourth time, became Prime Minister of Great Britain. Michelangelo, at 89, executed his last judgment, perhaps the most single most beautiful painting in the world. Edison was inventing well past his 90th birthday. Wright, at 90, was considered a creative architect. Shaw was writing plays at 90. Grandma Moses was painting at 80. Daniel was pushing 90 and was willing to defy the king, even though he knew that he would be thrown into the lion's den. Fourthly, the template of proclamation. As soon as the sun got up and Daniel was indeed in the lion's den, the king woke up and was shocked awake because he desired to know if God was true, God was real. Because Daniel had continually told the king that I am a servant of the living God. I am a servant of the living God.
That's the last slide.
And through Daniel's platform, he continued to proclaim this throughout the reign of the king. And so the king was anxious to see, indeed, if this living God was able to protect Daniel in the lion's den. And so the text comes to us in verse 20 of our scripture this morning. It says there, when he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually been able to rescue you from the lions? Verse 21, Daniel answered, may the king live forever. My God has sent an angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. Now, what do we learn from this? I tell you, where we learn it is from Daniel in way of his faith and his trust in God. Has your God, whom you serve, continually been able to rescue you from the lions? What has he done great in your life? How has he protected you? Have you proclaimed that to anybody? Daniel was continually about proclaiming the goodness and the blessing of God. And so when King Darius had thrown him into the lion's den, he thought, my goodness, this is a real pickle for Daniel. How is he going to get out of this? The only way anybody could get out of this is if God is real and God is true. And if he is, Daniel will be alive. This morning, I was out running. Often I like to run and pray at the same time. And this morning, I was out on the trail by the Quipham River running along. And I was listening to my headphones. I listened to another sermon. Not my sermon, another sermon from a pastor in New York City. And as I was running along, I kind of heard this scratching sound, and I turned away, and I swear, not more than 5 feet away from me, 5 feet, there was a big tree, and I had heard this scratching sound, and I turned around, and there was this huge bear. He was stretched out like this on top of the tree. His claws were scratching the top of the tree, and he looks over at me. I looked at him. And I thought, well, this is a good sermon illustration for this morning. 5 feet. And I thought, should I stop?
Should I play dead? What should I do?
No, I'll keep running. So I kept running, and I kept, you know, checking over my shoulders and following me, what's going on, and he didn't follow me. And you know, the first thing I did was I saw another guy coming down the trail towards me with his dog, and I said, stop! You know, I just 2 minutes down the trail in front of you, there's this big bear, and I told him the story. He said, wow, that's pretty amazing. I guess that got your heart going, he said. I said, yeah, that did get my heart going. And so God's good news is also comes as a warning, right? When we tell people, be careful. And I don't know about this guy, but he just said, oh, thank you very much, and kept walking down the trail towards the bear. But it's like, but I guess hopefully he kind of took a side trail off and got... So I thought I gave him good directions and everything and told him where the bear was, but he kept going. We proclaim what we know. Daniel proclaimed the reality and truth of God. And so gave amazing wisdom to the kings that he was under. Amazing advice that they treasured and made him prince of the land. How about for us? Do we hold on to the reality and the truth of God? I read you verse 25, what King Darius thought here. At verse 25 it says, then King Darius wrote to all the nations and the people of every language in all the earth. He could do that. May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree in every part of my kingdom. People must fear and revere the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Let's stand together and worship the living and true God. Worship team, come and lead us. the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of its sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Just take out your bulletins this morning briefly. Just to remind you that this coming Sunday, November the 6th, we will have an offering taken up in the service, and that will be specifically for Days for Girls. I talked to the representative for Days for Girls. They told me they will have a table set up here at our church and be representative here at our church next Sunday. So prepare yourselves for that offering. And that will go directly for Days for Girls next Sunday, everything that goes in the offering bag. So please do prepare yourselves for that. Also, we have our marriage class this morning, the tune-up. So that will be upstairs. If you're interested in that, we do have some extra books. So please come and enjoy that. Also, the Operation Christmas Child is continuing on. So we do have boxes out there. You package up a box, and that box goes to a needy child in a third world country. And just include a $7 check there, and that goes off, and we can be a blessing to somebody else in a difficult place. Also, our Hallelujah Party is going to happen tomorrow evening. So if you're looking for something to do, an activity time for your children, you're more than welcome to bring them to the church. And we're looking forward to a great evening together. Also, our men's group, this coming Saturday, we're going to go to A&W for a little brekkie and then see who is the best bowler amongst us. No competition, of course. We also have a baptismal class coming up. So if you're interested in either baptism or membership, please come and talk to myself or Pastor Joe. And we're organizing our classes. May you be blessed this morning as you review these things and bring them before the Lord. There's other things there you can pay attention to. But may God bless you as you go into your week. I know we face a hostile culture in which we live. We don't have lions' dens to be thrown into, but sometimes it might feel like that politically in our workplaces or in our school. But I believe if we continue to use Daniel's template, that God will be with us in those tight places, and he will make his name glorious, and it will be proclaimed that he is a living and true God in our lives and the lives of this nation of Canada. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So let's continue in our prayer and our purity and our perseverance and our proclamation of God. May God bless you as you go into your week.